Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, and welcome everybody. Welcome to this podcast. I wanted to say thank you to all the messages I've had in the last, probably 7 days, loads of messages, loads of, I love the podcast, thank you messages basically. And I am so grateful because I know that I'm actually really helping to support people. And that is the thing that, well, it's the whole point, right? That's why I do what I do. I'm a line three, I'm designed to sort of fall down and get back up again. And the thing that I really love from all the experiences and overcoming adversity in my life, the great joy I get from it is that I can help others and serve others and share those lessons. And in so many cases, actually, create the shortcut so that people really don't have to go through all the trials and tribulations that perhaps I did. So thank you, everybody, for reaching out. I really appreciate it. So what I want to talk to you about today is off the back of Friday, the last podcast, we talked about how I'm going to set up this new structure. So Mondays from now on, I'm going to take something specifically human design and teach it, okay? And one of the things that's really come to light for me is that for myself, I always need to know how. I always need to know whenever I have information that I'm like, that's great, but how exactly do I do that? Now, at times, my ego can grab that how-to ball and run with it. However, in this environment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my ability to work out the how to really empower you guys, my beautiful listeners out there, to implement and integrate your human design. Because I know for me, whether it's just about anything I've studied, it's all great to have the knowledge. It's even great to have the self-awareness. However, if you don't know how to really live in alignment, how to implement what you're learning about your human design, then it's kind of just falls by the wayside. So that's what I want to do. Now, one of the other things that people keep asking me, and if you follow me on LinkedIn, then I'm actually going to keep all my focus on LinkedIn on how to find the correct work for you, okay? Because this question just keeps coming back to me time and time and time again. And the thing about your human design is that your human design is all of your puzzle pieces, okay? All your little bits and pieces that are you, that make up who you are. And I can give you all those pieces. I can show you the pieces. I can give you the guidance in how to put those together. However, your human design doesn't work without you. And you've heard me say it a million times. That is, I don't want you just to take on the dogma. I want you to actually integrate it. And that means in human design, with it being the experiment that you've got to try on and really resonate with the things that work and don't work for you. So today what I thought I would do is I'm going to start almost back at the basics a little bit, but hopefully give you a little deeper how-to information. And hopefully give you one podcast that's almost like a little bit of a cheat sheet. I love a cheat sheet, which means that you can listen to this podcast over and over again when you just need to understand how to stay in your human design. So let's start at the beginning, okay? So when we talk about type, now by now, if you've listened to this many episodes, then you know what your type is. But how do you specifically live in that type? Well, number one, you want to go back and understand what your that type theme is. Because remember, when we understand our type, it's all about our aura and how our aura works. And, you know, the message that our energy is giving off, our aura is giving off, and making sure that's in alignment to the thoughts that we're thinking and the emotions that we're feeling. Now, where those things can become unstuck is in our unconscious mind from our conditioning. And obviously in human design as well, when we talk about centers, in our open and undefined centers, this is also where we will find conditioning. Now, in my experience, we find conditioning all over the chart. I know technically we talk about it in the open and undefined centers. However, I know for me personally and a number of my clients, there's definitely conditioning that goes on in defined areas too. So when you start with your type, how do you specifically live in alignment to your type? Well, number one, understand your energetic aura, okay? Because that is effectively, it's 6 feet around you. I've been saying 3 feet and someone corrected me recently. So I'm like, rightio, it's 6 feet. And it's this energetic bubble, if you like, that you live in. And it's out in front of you, if you like, and out behind you and either side of you, kind of like introducing yourself before you even get there, before you get to a situation. Now, if your aura and your physical body are all in alignment, then this is when our strategy kicks in. Because let's say if you're a projector, your aura will say, I'm looking for invitations. I'm looking for correct invitations for me. Now, what tends to happen to most projectors is that they're like, oh my God, I need to find invitations. So in their physical body and generally their mind, they are hunting for invitations, okay? Where you don't actually need to be hunting for those invitations. You just need to be listening to your type and your strategy and your authority, because then your aura is going to be out there literally doing the inviting of invitations into your energetic aura for you. So if you're a manifester, let's say, you just literally want to be conscious of that urge inside of you. Like, what is happening? And are you, do you have this energy to go and get going, go and do something, create something, really, you know, ignite that energy of yours? And if you're doing that and being unapologetically yourself, then your aura is going to be like, check out this person. Like, they are totally on their path. They are starting the wave. They are initiating the turnaround. They are igniting this fire. Get on this bandwagon. And then the aura is out in front of the manifestor, literally showing everyone the power of beginnings, okay? Or the power of whatever this particular manifestor is bringing. And that means that when you're in alignment, you're unapologetically yourself, the how-to is just to make sure that you're listening to, that you're doing your strategy, which means that if you have this urge to go out and start a new business, which is so rife right now, like people wanting to find their correct work, now is the time. It might sound very counterintuitive, but it's not. You know, when things burn to the ground, we must start again. And, you know, if you get on the train now, you won't be chasing your tail later on. So this is all happening, and your strategy as a manifestor, it's like, I just need to inform. I need to tell people where I'm going and what I'm doing. And your aura is out there in front of you doing most of the work for you. You just have to be unapologetically yourself, telling people where you're headed. You know, if you're a manifesting generator or a generator, it's the same. Like, are you lit up? Are you excited? Are you excited about the things that you're focusing on? Is the work that you're doing the correct work for you? Then great, because if you're doing that, your aura is already out in front of you. It's all around you, inviting in opportunities for you to respond to, inviting in synchronicities for you to respond to, inviting things in that are external of your physical body so that you can respond to it. That's how to live in your type. Now, if you are a, who have I done? Reflector. So if you're a reflector, right, you are all about surprise and delight. You are all about being this, you know, this magnificent mirror. And one, I had this great distinction. I was talking to a reflector in New York last week, and she, and I think I mentioned her on the other podcast, she was incredible. She was amazing. And one of the things that I realized is that, so as a behavioral coach, I'm always looking at projections. So either what I'm projecting onto other people or what other people are projecting onto me. And this is kind of like, this is a model that we talk about all the time. And it really gets you to this place of learning not to take anything personally. Now, when I was talking to this reflector the other day, it really got me thinking. I'm like, how does it specifically work? Like, is it her? Is it what she's projecting onto me? Is it what I'm projecting onto her? And then it dawned on me, it's actually who she's choosing to be in that moment that is the actual reflection. And take time to have a think about that, because that's a mind-blowing statement. Because one of the things that the reflectors I've spoken to is they're kind of like, when they first come to human design, they're a bit like, I'm really confused. So is that me or is that not me? And it dawned on me speaking to this beautiful human that, well, she's being her all the time. She's 100% being herself. It's just that she is someone different in every single environment and with every single person. So it's important to understand that if you are a reflector and you're just being you in that moment, your aura is sorting out everything that you need and giving you the time and the space to really know what feels good and what doesn't. So that's the how when it comes to type and strategy. Understand what your aura is out there doing, and all you need to really focus on is that strategy part. That's the how to. Then the next step, of course, is your authority. So one of the things I really want to say, like obviously we've got the three main authorities, which is emotional authority, sacral authority, and then splenic authority. And then we have a number of other ones that are smaller. Now, not smaller, they're not as common. And I really say when it comes to how to understand your authority, one of the things I'm constantly reminded of is if you want to learn your authority, don't try so hard. You know, I see my girls on the mastermind who are smashing it, like they're having little magical miracles every week, big transformations, clients coming out of nowhere, better relationships, like things are transforming fast, and we're just entered week four. How good is that? Ah! Anyway, so but one of the things that I'm reminded of yet again, because I had this in my journey, is that often when you learn about your authority, you're like, right, I'm going to work this shit out. I'm going to get it down. I'm going to work it out. I'm going to work it hard. I've got this. And the more that you try and be overactive or try really hard to like master your authority, the more it kind of slips through your fingers. So the how-to when it comes to authority is just take it easy. Start small, you know, journal, reflect. But if at any point you feel that frustration, and you will, if you feel that like, oh, I just can't get it, or oh, it's not making sense, or is it this or is it that? It just means that you are spending way too much time thinking about it in the mind and not enough time just observing it in the world, if you like, in your physical body, and how when you listen to your authority, even if it's as simple as you've got emotional definition, so you decide to sleep on it. It's just as simple as asking yourself the same question the next day. And do I sign up for this course or don't I? And in the moment you're like, yes. And then you tell yourself you sleep on it. You wait till the following day. And then you ask yourself and you're like, yeah, I'd like to do it. And you notice that although it's not like a hell yes, like you hear so many people screaming, hell yes. Hell yes for an emotional authority, that is just them at a high, okay? So one of the things that I want you to understand is it's like, stop trying quite so hard with your authority. Take a step back. You know, if you have an emotional authority, you've got to understand that the correct answer for you won't necessarily be a hell yes. It'll be a definite yes, okay? Yeah, this is it. And you know it from this place of resonance, not from a place of this huge energetic yeah, because that is a high for someone who has emotional authority. So when it comes to authority, take the foot off the accelerator. Play around with it. You know, what does your sacral feel like in your body? How do you feel an expansion or a contraction? How do you feel a yes or a no? And if you don't know, then just practice with simple things that don't matter, like food, or pick a tarot card that way, or an oracle card, or decide what to watch on telly, or simple things that you can just practice feeling an expansion of a yes or a contraction of a no. And with the spleen as well, like, just be kind to yourself. The how with the spleen is just to listen and act on as many of those nonsensical almost knowings, and nonsensical is not the right word, but just those knowings that can be a bit random. You know, the classic that I talk about a lot is Justin, the way Justin eats. Like, he, what did he do the other morning? Oh, the other morning I found him just drizzling all his honey all over his breakfast. Like, he never puts honey all over his breakfast. And we just giggled because we looked at each other and he goes, apparently I need honey. My spleen told me I need honey today. So this is how Justin learnt to listen to his intuition and his spleen, just through eating what his body told him to eat. And that moved on to the bigger things, the more important things. So the how to, when it comes to your authority, is just chill. Start small. Practice. And do not pressure yourself, you know, like, minimize the expectations, amp up the fun, and just relax, you know, let it go. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is to round out those four, the first three, and now the fourth thing. Like, if you get these four things in your human design, you're set. Go practice them before you get into all the other stuff, would be my advice. Because what I see way too often is, we all want to get in. We want to get into the depths. We want to know it all. But it's all well and good to know it all. But you just don't integrate when you have all this knowledge that you're not putting it into you effectively, learning, integrating in layers. You're just learning all this really cool stuff. And you're like, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months down the track, you're like, what was that thing that really resonated with me? I know it's about something to do with the work, but I just can't remember where it was or where to find it. So the how-to with really living in alignment with your human design, from my point of view, and what I would always recommend, is start with your type, strategy, authority, and profile. So profile is the next bit we'll talk about. And if you just start with these first and practice them, profile, you don't have to practice. It's just something that you are. It's like your it's like a personality archetype, okay? It's just, you know, if your incarnation cross is your purpose, look, they say it's your purpose. I think that there's a lot more to purpose, especially being an open G center. Of course, you know, I looked at my incarnation cross and I was kind of like, oh yeah, that makes sense that that's my purpose. Oh, but what about my north node? I think that's like partly my purpose. And so my point is that your profile is the how you get to the purpose. Okay, so it's the archetype. It's the vehicle, like a vehicle belief, right? But an archetype that gets you to the purpose. So it's your how-to. You know, like, what is your purpose, and your how-to is your profile. So your profile is all about the type of lessons and karma that you're going to live, that you're here to live. So I'll, you know, obviously my experience is I'm a 3-5. So it's all about getting into the trenches and learning through experience and getting my hands dirty and working out what doesn't work. Because once I know it doesn't work, I'm like, oh my God, I've got this. I've got this, everybody. This is for you. Take this. Because all this shit over here does not work. So these are the archetypes, these are the lessons, these are the way I'm going to learn. Now, if you're a 6-3, let's say, then, you know, early on in life, you're going to turn up a little bit like me, but, or a 6-2, but the 6-2 is definitely going to have, you know, different archetypes. The 6-2 is the role model. Like, there's three significant, areas of your life or growth stages of your life that are going to be important to you. The two is a hermit, you know, and it's the gifted child. So what do people project onto you? So understanding profile, and let me just break down profile a little bit because I've jumped ahead on it. But the thing about profile is that, okay, it's your archetype, all right? But it's also going to tell you how you experience fulfillment, okay? So how you're going to be the most fulfilled and find your worth, you know, who, you know, your value, your self-worth, your self-love. So if you're the smaller number first, this means that you are here on personal karma, which means your life is about evolving you. You're going to get your fulfillment and your self-worth from your journey. So for me personally, 3-5, that's absolutely it. And my profile is perfect because I'm like, I want to learn everything for me. I'm totally driven by learning. The journey is my journey. However, it's cool. I think it's really cool because I'm the 5 and I've got the heretic, the hero, the general. Because once I've learned all these lessons, the first thing I want to do is go and share them with the world. And all I need to do is wait for someone to project onto me what they need, or, you know, what they need me to come in and help with. And I'm like, I've got a bag of tricks for you. So, and obviously that's my business, right? So I work with people one-on-one and through the mastermind and online courses. So that's perfect for my profile. You see how that works. Now, if you have the big number first and then the second number is the smaller number, so we'll take 6-2 again. I always use 6-2 because it's Justin's and it's also Mel's who works with us as well. So just so, I don't know, maybe just a little added bonus. I should mix them up a little bit more, shouldn't I? Anyway, maybe I'm showing favoritism. I don't know. Anyway, now I'm rambling on. Defined throat without direction. That's what that's all about. Now, so if you have the big number first, so it could be any of the big numbers first, the small number second, then you've got transpersonal karma, which means you're going to feel the most fulfillment when you're serving others, when you're lifting others up. So the difference would be, let's use the metaphor of depression. So when I had depression, when I was doing depression for many years and panic disorder, I had to focus on me and my journey, healing my mindset, my self-worth. And that's what healed it for me. That's what gave me the most value for me, that raised my self-worth. Now, if Justin had ever found himself in that situation, and he's a 6-2, now, the first thing he would want to do is go and find someone else in the same situation as him with the same mental health issues and help that person heal. And as he helps that person heal, he actually almost unconsciously heals himself through that person's journey. So that's the difference between having the big and the small number first. You're either personal or transpersonal. So how do you do that? Again, with the profile, there's nothing you have to do. There is no how. You just need to know it. One of the cool things that I love about the profile is it's kind of a permission slip. You know, like it's good to know with line ones, you're all about, you're the investigator. It's all about research. So it's permission to, the more you know, the safer you'll feel, you know, like permission slip. It's not like a lot of coaching, a lot of gurus will tell you, oh, you know, you're just information gathering in an unresourceful way, but not for a line one. Like for a line one, you're designed to get, that's how you get your safety. Once you have all the information, you feel really safe and potentially really powerful. You know, line two, it's great to know that you're the hermit, so you need the time away. You're also the gifted child. So the line one is all about, you know, learning and academically learning. The line two is the natural. So you have a natural gift that gets projected onto you. People will tell you, oh, you're so good at this, you're so good at that. So then you want to go to your cave and check with that authority of yours and see if that's the right gift for you. Is that actually your gift? And then go shine, sister, brother. The line three, you're all about experimentation. It's about trial and error. It's about finding out what doesn't work. So for me, it's all about getting your hands dirty. You only learn through experience. I mean, I totally resonate with, you know, for many years before I came to human design, I was like, no, I have to learn things for myself. I've always been that way. Yes, I am. I'm a line three. If you're a line four, then you're the opportunist. You're all about people, people, people. You want to be with people, teach people, connect people. And people want you to be a part of their community. Then the line five, you've got the heretic. So the heretic is all about, you know, the hero being called in, the general. But there's also that other part of you, that being a line five, and you'd have heard me say this, is that people project their unresourceful stuff onto you more so than other people. And it's just really cool to know, oh my God, it wasn't something that I put out there. And look, I get that these days. I'm an evolved human. I'm certainly not perfect. There are moments. But understanding that sometimes people will project really random stuff onto you being a line five. And then, you know, being a line six, as I've talked about, you are the role model. But to become the role model, you've got stages that you need to go to grow your experience and your wisdom so that you can be that role model. So that knowing those things about yourself, it gives you the permission and it gives you a little bit of a conscious awareness of how you're going to be fulfilling that purpose. So this is the first of my teaching podcasts, and I would love for you to tell me what you think of it. Now, I've got a really exciting announcement. We are loving our mastermind so much so that I don't want to wait till the end of it to start the second one. I'm going to run them two alongside each other, which is super exciting. So if the mastermind is something that you want to do, then there is a link in the show notes to get on the wait list. We will put the dates out very soon for it. And if you want to get on it, please do, because I already have a number of people that want to join. The last one filled really quickly, and it's absolutely everything that I've talked about here today. And I mean, look, what I've spoken about today, we cover in depth in just the first month. So you can imagine how much more good stuff the next 2 months are. So that is in the show notes. I think that was all. That's all I wanted to share with you today. I'm very conscious to keep it to time. Let me know what you think about the first teaching episode. I'm going to deep dive into all of the facets of human design over the next few months. So if there's something specific you want to hear about, I'm really happy to support you on that. Otherwise, I am incredibly grateful for you joining. Thank you again, and I look forward to having you on the next podcast. Bye for now. Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.